right, there you go. Emily Grogan, man, I just can't get enough of that song. Appreciate it, and check her out. Her music is fantastic. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Poplawski. Both Tim and Bill are remote tonight due to the weather and other reasons. Let me turn the music down here just a tad here.
We're babies, Rick.
What's
We're
that? Babies. Say again?
We're babies.
No babies, man. I get that.
In the face of extreme weather, we wuss.
Well, I can understand that. It was fun, you know, at some points in our careers, and now maybe not so much. Although, what is it Chesty Puller used to say on Iwo Jima? Discretion is the better part of valor. So, I don't know about valor, but yeah, discretion is wise at certain stages of life. Tim, we got a lot going on tonight. We got a couple of coaches to talk about some football in high school. We're going to be talking with some old buddies, Jim Pugh at Hamilton Wenham High School. Also checking in with Lou Ciccatelli at Revere High School over in the Greater Boston League. We'll talk with Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf writer, along and also with Mike Grenier. Probably focus on the start of the Celtics. I've got a lot of interviews coming up this week. We're going to talk with a bunch of coaches as the football season is winding down, as is the fall sports season. We got Brian St. Pierre, the St. John's Prep High School football coach. We'll be talking with Coach St. Pierre tomorrow. Also checking in with Colin McQueen, who is the Amesbury High School football coach. And we got a lot of other stuff coming up as well, many, many other interviews. Plus, want you to check out the special Connections broadcast that Josh Arnold is doing for us. He's actually focusing on the municipal elections in Gloucester this week. And we'll have a Zoom interview with Gloucester Mayor Safathia Romeo-Taken. So that's all coming up this week on MSONewsSports.com. Coach, I don't know where to start. A lot happened over the weekend in terms of professional sports. The three teams still surviving did well. The Celtics won, the Bruins won, and the Patriots absolutely destroyed the Jets. But I want to start off maybe, Tim, with a quick comment about the Red Sox. As I reflected on it, I wasn't that distraught when they got beat the other day. But now, having thought more about it, what a collapse. What an awful collapse.
Well, you know, you go from getting like 33 base hits over the first three games, and you beat the bejesus out of the baseball, just clubbing home runs and extra base hits. And then suddenly the last three games, the Astros pitching staff goes from wreck of the Hesperus to, the greatest warship to ever sail the seven seas, and the Red Sox couldn't buy a hit. Don't know if they forgot who they were playing, if the pitching got that much better. They made better pitches. The catcher called a better game. But they just, the tank went dry. They had nothing, and they didn't play as crisply mm-hmm. as they had previously. Mm-hmm. So it was, in effect, a meltdown. The pitching wasn't that much worth. Valdi gave you, I just don't understand this move. He's given you four runs, he's got five strikeouts, he's given up two runs, and you yanked him. Sale gave you, five innings, and they yanked him. So all of a sudden, Cora got itchy fingers instead of yanking his pitches when they needed him to go maybe a little bit more, because the bullpen just didn't have it.
Yeah.
They just didn't have it when they needed it the most. The meltdowns were epic.
Yeah, very disappointing. Very disappointing, because I thought they had a real shot, and it didn't look to me like Houston is that much better of a team. But, in the long run overall, it was really a fun season, and I really enjoyed, watching those guys play, and they played with so much joy until the last three games, of course. But,
this playoff series was a microcosm of the entire
yes, absolutely, yep.
Entire season. You yep. know, they started out hot, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, the June swoon came in August, and they couldn't buy a win. They couldn't find a hit. The pitching was subpar, and that's the way this season was tailspin until they sort of corrected it at the end. But again, too little, too late.
Yeah. All right. I want to Tim very briefly here before we check in with Jim Pugh. Maybe a quick comment on the Patriots, because what I watched yesterday, what was alarming, was the number of injuries on the one hand. On the other hand, it was so exciting to see that offensive line with Isaiah Wynn back in there, with Shaq Mason back in there. It made a big, big difference, but now Mason's hurt, and maybe Wynn is too.
Yeah, if they can get the kind of backup play that they got, the last game of last week with the offensive line played so well.
Yeah, they did. Dallas, yeah.
You know, then they're okay because the backups know they can play that well.
Yep.
You know, another tough game coming this week, but that it was fun to watch. They couldn't help themselves but to score. But again, you know, well, it was the Jets, but you know, you always said they're still an NFL team.
Yep.
And they can step up and bite you if the mood strikes them. I think the problem with the Jets was they started talking before they won the game.
Yeah.
You know, you give a Belichick team locker room material, that could be a bad thing.
Oh. Absolutely. Tim, before we turn it over to Jim Pugh, I want to read this press release from Endicott College, because we've been following the career of Jamie Caponigro. You're very familiar with her dad, baseball coach. And let me just read this. Following a 2-0 win that consisted of two Commonwealth Coast Conference victories, Jamie Caponigro, Swampscott, Mass., and Riley Richtelli of North Brookfield, Mass. So that's Jamie Caponigro and Riley Richtelli have been named the CCC Offensive Player and Rookie of the Week, respectively. The honors were announced by the conference earlier this afternoon. After totaling 5 points on 2 goals and an assist in Endicott's 3-0 shutout win over the University of New England and 3-2 win over Western New England on Saturday, Caponigro earned her second CCC Offensive Player of the Week honor in 2021. The graduate student started the week assisting on the eventual game winner against UNE during the week before capping the week with 2 goals on 3 shots in the team's 3-2 win over WNE. Caponigro now leads the Gulls in goals with 6 points with 14, while she is tied for third on the team in assists with 2. And Tim, she is an absolute delight to talk with.
Oh yeah, you know, Joe's a great guy, and she's been all over the headlines for her accomplishments this season in particular. Not much you can say that already hasn't been said about her.
Yeah, absolutely, and appreciate the updates and love talking with her. She's a great kid, and I can't wait to see what where she ends up career wise. All right, we're going to take a break and check in with friend Jim Pugh of Hamilton Wenham High School. They're in a wild race in the Cape Ann League with 4 teams tied for first place as we go into the final regular season of the week. So we'll chat with Coach Pugh, and then after that we'll talk with another old friend, Lou Ciccatelli of Revere High School. He's the football coach there. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just 2 words for you. Anderson Windows. Andersen is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Andersen windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Coach Gorin and Hamilton Wenham.
All right. What sport is that, Jim? What are you watching?
Soccer.
All right.
And, Hamilton Wenham, we're winning 2-0 against Amesbury.
Okay.
20 minutes to go in the game.
All right. I appreciate the update. See, yep, Timmy's going to take your job, brother, when he retires.
Yeah, right. I'll be there.
Tim, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Tim took a nap. Anyway, Coach, welcome back. Congratulations on a big win. I lost the game report. I just had it on Triton. But the game report in the Salem News was the fact that you guys were just scoring from all over the place.
We had a good game. And, I was telling our coaches, we were just, I mean, they have some skilled people, and the quarterback was, I saw him play in the beginning of the year against Newburyport before we played Newburyport when they had a ton of injuries, and now they have, Triton played them when they were full strength.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great game, and Triton lost 19-14. But so Triton's, they got some really good skill kids, and the quarterback is excellent. So we were, very concerned, but, our kids came out, and we played some good physical football, which we've been doing all year, but offensively we've been able to score. And, besides the Tomorakis, we had Will Maroney and Marcus Norton, and of course our quarterback, John Bertel, had a very good game, leading us again. And so the last couple of weeks we've been scoring, we've been scoring a lot of points, and we're still playing good defense. So right now we're excited. I mean, this week we're playing North Reading, which is the top team in the Cape Ann League.
I want to get to that, Jim, because the Cape Ann League is absolutely wild. What a finish coming up. But Matt Williams writes in the Salem News about your guys scoring, but he really gives a lot of attention. You don't see this very often in papers, to your offensive line.
That's so true, Rick, and it was great to see. And, the newspapers don't always give them a lot of credit, but the coaching staffs always do. And
mm-hmm.
Coach Melanson, and he's been our offensive line coach since I've been at Hamilton with him, and does a great job. And the kids love him, and he does, he does a great job. And so the kids really did, they've been playing well. And, we're not the fastest linemen, we're not the most athletic, but the kids really are doing what they're supposed to do. So, it's been nice to see.
Tim?
I'm back. I went to grab the newspaper, Rick. I didn't have it with me.
Okay, well.
I had to traverse the width of my castle in order to get it.
All right, well, in the meantime.
I
want to ask Coach Pugh about this crazy race in the Cape Ann League. I talked with Colin McQueen earlier. You guys, you're in Division 7, and then the other guys, what, they're in Division 5?
Well, no. Amesbury and we're in Division, we're all in Division 7. Amesbury and us and Georgetown and...
Yeah, but I'm talking about Pawtucket and North Reading.
Pawtucket and North Reading are in 5 or...
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and that's what's wild, Coach. I mean, you've got these two division levels, but the competition in the league, and it's coming down to the wire. I mean, you guys got this huge game coming up, as does Amesbury. Tell us a little bit about how you feel, Jim. You've been doing this for a while, but with all that's gone on in the last year and a half and so on, this has got to feel really exciting.
It's definitely exciting, and that's the thing about the playoffs. Even, when we started in 2012 or 13, it is exciting. And I think I told you, Rick, my daughter teaches at Marblehead, and, for years, her elementary school kids, youth football players are always, talking about, who's, who's in first place, got the higher seed. But that being said, it really isn't about the divisions a whole heck of a lot, unless you're talking about Catholic Memorial. I mean, the bottom line.
Yeah, that's another controversy we could talk about at some point.
the bottom line is, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's not the division you're in, it's the program you have. And I used to always say all the time, I mean, you could play Reading and they were in Division 2 or 3 and they were better than, 3/4 of the teams in Division 1.
Right.
So it's not the division, it's the quality of the program you play. That's the bottom line. And we, we're playing some playing some tough teams, but, there are some good teams in every division. 7, 6, all of them. They all have, really good.
Well,
the teams, and it's like, that's who you end up playing. That's the bottom line.
I'll be talking with Ed Blum later on in the week, and you got to tell me a little bit about what you see from North Reading.
Well, North Reading is, they've been successful. Ed's been around for like 5 years, I don't know, they've been winning, and they've gone into the playoffs every year with like 6 wins, 7 wins. And this year, right now they're 6-1. They lost to Avesbury, which was, a semi upset, but it's never an upset because it's high school football.
yeah.
Any given day, someone's going to knock someone off. It's not college football. It's not the NFL. It's high school football. 16-year-old kids. So anyway, he's got a wagon. But last 2 weeks ago, Amesbury knocked them off.
Yep.
And Amesbury, we beat Amesbury in a really close game, and so it's anyone's game. So it's going to be exciting down the stretch. And Amesbury has Pawtucket. That's who we lost to. So we're all 4-1.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. That's the nice thing about a playoffs.
The amazing thing, and Tim, I'll let you get the last question in here. North Reading, Hamilton 1, and Pawtucket Amesbury, they're all 4-1. They're all 6-1, except for Amesbury, which is 5-1. But listen to this. North Reading, Hamilton 1, they've both scored 176 points. North Reading has allowed 86. Hamilton 1 has allowed 76. Tim, it doesn't get any closer than that.
No. That's the Boston Red Sox and Yankees. And I'd like to say it was just on the paper, but I don't think that's been that good for years. It's close, but it's going to be, as we said to our kids today, I mean, this is why you play high school. Friday night, I was scouting them last week, and they were playing, they're very important. There was a ton of kids there Friday night, and from North Reading, and I'm sure it'll be filled coming Friday.
Tim?
Unless there's a hurricane.
that's going to be the capstone of this week of rain. Jim, is there a scenario where points accumulated doesn't solve, where this could come down to a coin toss between two or three teams?
No, you mean for the playoffs?
Yeah.
No. For the playoffs, it's just going to go, we're all at different divisions, and it's just going to, that ends this weekend with 8 games each. But the Big Ten League playoffs, it's kind of really, a little screwed up, but it's going by, there's two divisions, so there'll be the Baker and the Kidney, but there won't be, it's crazy. It's going to be that whoever, you count all of your games against all 7 teams. But, so if we went, if Amesbury and us win, that would be great, but bottom line,
Jim,
Reading and Pawtucket could still win it.
Let me interrupt you here.
Nearly.
And let's figure this out next week.
that's for a longer day, right.
Okay.
But anyway, right now, it's just, all we're talking about right now is, and I told our kids, we're going, you know, we were going the last 3 weeks, and it was just like to play for the playoffs, get a seed.
There you go. All right.
We're hoping for a good seed.
Okay. And
right.
You got Hamilton Wenham at North Reading. That's at 5 o'clock on Friday night. Is that correct?
That is correct. Why? I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
They could have been early in North Reading.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah, the sun sets a little earlier up north. Hey, Jim, thank you so much. Good
all
luck,
right,
man, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Coach.
All right,
that is Jim Pugh. And yeah, Tim, we got to talk about this in a little while. We're going to have Lou Ciccatelli coming up next. We're going to take a quick break. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. So please stay with us. We'll be back.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy, or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Okay, we're back now with Revere High School football coach and old friend Lou Ciccatelli. Coach, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me again. Miss you guys.
Oh, yeah. I know you guys had a big win last week. You got the old Northeast Conference folk coming up last week. I'm going to let Tim take this thing over. Tim?
Hi, Coach.
Hey, Tim. How's it going, buddy?
I'm healthy.
Well, that's good news. That's actually good news.
Yeah, getting ready to head to Key West for a little vacation. Hopefully, nice. I'll come back healthy from there, too.
I hear you.
Well, what's the record at this point?
So right now we're 5-2.
5-2, okay. So you're in good shape for getting to the playoffs.
No, well, that's a long story, and I don't know if we have enough time to talk about that, but no, we're not, because of the way the point system's going. Yeah, it's... They interviewed me today in the Globe, and they were asking me questions about it. It's not just me, it's a few other coaches, maybe 6 or 7 of us, that could have winning records, be 6-2, and not still be in the playoffs this year because of, who we played.
Is that,
Yeah, I mean, the GBL, other than a couple of teams, the GBL is kind of struggling this year, you know? It's just one of those things, and, you know, that's the league we're in, and, you know, our non-league games, we picked, I guess they just didn't hold enough weight, too, so we could be looking. What I'm telling the guys is right now it looks like we have a good slide into that last spot with a win against Classical, but it's going to be close.
Yeah, the Classical would give you some good points, but, you know, would it be enough? Because this is the last weekend, right?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be close. I mean, we'll need help. We need the teams that are ahead of us. We need them to lose is basically what it comes down to, you know. But, again, it's like one of those things where, you know, a team that could go 3-5 could get into the playoffs instead of a team that goes 6-2. And, you know, with the new rule now, it's wins and losses that matter.
That's kind of crazy. And Frost might bit me right when I hear that, you know.
Me too.
But
the guys are still excited. You know, we're just going to see how it plays out. We're ready for Classical on Friday, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, your destiny is in your own hands, and you can only control what's in front of you. And knowing that, you know, if they beat Classical, they've given themselves at least a chance. So that's the motivation.
No doubt about it. We told them this is a playoff game. And for Classical, it's a big game, too. It's going to be a great high school football game. Classical's a very good team. I think we're a very good team. And it's really a playoff game. They need to win also to get in. So it's going to be it'll be an interesting high school football night.
Let me jump in, Lou. You guys had a big 44-6 win over Somerville. Again, the skilled players always get the ink. But please tell me again, brag about some of your line guys up front.
Yeah, my offensive line, sure, my captain, Omani Okabibi, my left tackle, Jason Shosho, my guard, my center, Adam Aguizars, my other captain, Max Doucette, my tackle, Joe Vasquez, and my other captain, Augusto Gonzalez, my tight end. Yeah, they got a big push. We were able to run the ball. I think we had over like 270 yards rushing the football in the half.
Whoa.
Some of the other guys, and some of the other guys like Davey Barreto, my tailback, Wilmer Rodriguez, my quarterback, Anwar Mabo, those skilled guys, they set the tone, but the offensive line did their job very, very nicely on Friday night, and so did the defense, and, we were able to get a big win.
Before I let Tim ask, the final question or thought, coaches, tell me about the chemistry of this team with all that's gone on in the last 2 years. Are these kids, do they tend to get closer together, considering all the obstacles they've had to overcome?
No doubt about it. They're young. We're a very young team. We lost a lot of kids in the last couple of years. But, playing 4 games last year and sticking together. And, it basically was a spring season, and those guys being able to turn it around fast, get back in the weight room quick. I think that's a testimony to how dedicated they were. And, they're a very, very tight-knit bunch. And, they worked hard to get to where they are. And, we're very, very pleased with our record. 5-2. These kids have really worked their tails off to get there.
Lou, is it home or away Friday night?
So we're at the Manning Bowl. It's a 5 o'clock start. It's kind of a crazy start.
They're starting early.
Yeah, I guess there's 2 games. It's a doubleheader. There's 5 and I think 7 or 7:30. So
okay.
We got the early game. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't change the clocks till next week, so that's going
to
make
that's a tough one.
We're
going to have to move on quick.
Absolutely. Lou, I appreciate you taking the time. Good luck this week, and hopefully we can talk again during the playoffs.
Sounds great, guys. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, that is Revere High School football coach Lou Ciccatelli. And, Tim, how long have we been doing this with Coach Lou, man? This has been a while.
We got at least a decade behind us.
I know. And did you like the way you call it at the Manning Bowl? okay. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back with Gary Larrabee, who is a sports historian, golf writer. He's got some golf to talk about, as I'm sure Tim does, too. All right. We'll be back. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Don't forget the Salem News Sports Writers podcast tomorrow, hosted by Bill Newell. That'll be on. They're going to talk all kinds of stuff with all kinds of information about kids here on the North Shore. That'll be around 8 o'clock in the morning. Salem News Sports Writers podcast. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just 2 words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right. We are here. That's Tim Kearns. Gary Larrabee is on the line. I'm Rick Moore. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. Don't forget, again, Bill Newell with the Salem News Sports Writers podcast tomorrow at around 8 a.m. Gary, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Doing great. We have a lot of big high school golf news to report tonight.
All right, it didn't get rained out?
We thought they would have. One of them was rained out. Division III was postponed. That's the state finals, team and individual. MIA Division III state championship has been postponed from today to next Tuesday at Shining Rock in Northridge. But the big news of the day, that St. John's Prep just won their 15th state title going back to the 1970s when they shot 306 today. That's 22 over par, but boy, oh boy, we're talking some, you know, serious weather today, but they were able to play it, and they played it at Wentworth Hills down in Plainville, which is about 75 to 80 miles from here. It might have been a little bit milder down there towards Rhode Island, Connecticut border. But the most important thing is St. John's Prep has won their 15th.
Wow.
Which is the most of any team in, obviously, Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association history. They shot 306. They beat Wellesley by two shots. They beat Zverian by three. They beat St. John's at Shrewsbury by four. And they beat BC High by seven, because those are four Catholic schools in the first five. But the first St. John's Prep victory since 2015, which was the last year that Larry O'Neill, who was really the Bill Belichick of high school golf in Massachusetts, that was his eighth state championship, gutting the Eagles. They did come very close a few years ago. They lost a playoff when the Prep, and I don't know the other team, what happens if they finished tied and they had to go to a fifth player. They only used four scores, and that year they had to use five scores, and the Prep, I believe, lost that fifth score by one shot. But a great, great win for Brian Jasiak, the first-year head coach, former volunteer coach under O'Neill, and more recently the JV coach under Joe Roger, who coached the team for 5 years, you know, the PGA professional who teaches at that fantastic golf country facility on Route 114 in Middleton. I feel bad for Joe Roger. He wasn't there coaching them this year, but it was a great day for Brian Jasiak. Mentioning the scores real quickly, Alex Landry shot 74, finished tied for fifth. Ian Rourke and Terry Meany both shot 76, tied for 10th. Emmett Failing was the first of two Prep players to shoot 80, so his score counted, tying for 28th. Nick DeVito also shot 80, and Brendan O'Callaghan shot 82. Those two scores did not count, but St. John's Prep.
Wow.
State champions once again for the 15th time. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Gary, where was the Division III playoffs supposed to be held?
Division III is going to be at Sandy Burr.
Is that a change of venue from today?
It was no, actually, it was going to be played tomorrow, I should say. But they pushed it back a week, because there's a lot more rain coming tonight and tomorrow. They're not even going to try for tomorrow.
The conditions were
better, obviously, for today in Plainville. Yeah. And the Division II, I should say Division III, I'm confused it for one second, guys. Division III has been postponed till next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Division II was played today. Division III will be next week at that site I just mentioned. Division II was played today at Sandy Burr. We had no teams involved. We had some individuals, and the stunning news was that neither Aiden Emmerich from St. Mary's of Lynn, Swampskin, and Kernwood, nor Aiden LeBlanc from Beverly won the individual title. That was won by Austin Prep's Max Hampton, who shot 69. Mm. Emmerich just missed. He shot 70. Aiden LeBlanc had an off day, shot 74. Tyler Felberg from Masconoma shot 80. So that's Division II, and Division III, and we'll have to wait. I've got my divisions mixed up, but let's see. Division I, as you mentioned, was at Plainville at Wentworth Hills. Division Two will be at Sandy Burr next week, and Division Three was today.
Okay.
Anyways, excitement all around, but yeah. Division Three is coming up next week, and that'll include Gloucester and Rockport. So I got to get my divisions all squared away here, guys.
But. Hey, you're on the fly, man. That's good stuff, considering all the information you're trying to get out there. And what about if you're done with the high schools? I'm going to turn it over to Tim and the pros, because I have not been following this stuff.
Go, Tim.
All right. this is a show I watch on Wednesday nights, Mallorca Files, and Winter won the Mallorca Open in a close battle. That immediately picked up. I immediately, you know, like, oh, Mallorca. That's how I relate my golf nowadays, is where they're playing.
You're on top of it. You're really on top of it. Chris, the big news over the weekend, I guess, for guys, was that Bernard Langer, at 64 years of age,
mm-hmm.
became the oldest winner on the PGA Tour's Champions Circuit. He won the first of the three events being played on the PGA Tour's Charles Schwab Playoffs. That was in Richmond, Virginia. Langer shot 202, 14 under par, and won a playoff over Doug Barron, a relative unknown. And that was his longest 42nd win.
That's nuts.
And this guy is just phenomenal. He still makes the cut at the Masters. 64 years of age. And talk about a real old man river. That's Bernard Langer.
You look at a picture of Bernard Langer today, and you take a picture of him back in the late 80s, early 90s. You can't tell which
right.
one is which.
Right.
He's in exactly the same physical condition. He wears the same style clothing.
He still walks very slow. He's one of the slowest players on the tour, but it hasn't affected his effectiveness. And, of course, Tim, he's taken very good care of himself over the years. And he's a God-fearing, and he's just amazing.
You know, I was looking at the further down in the story on ESPN, and Phil tied 47th at this one, but he's won 3 out of 5 of the events that he's played in on the senior circuit.
He's just an amazing, amazing player. You know, we thought Gary Player was a phenomenal player who still contended and still played till he was very old. Same with Tom Watson, almost won. You know, the British Open at the age of 59. But what Long is doing is really taking it to a new level.
Oof.
Scott Hoke had won a Champions Tour event at the age of 53 years and like 5 months. But Long is 64 years, 1 month, and he doesn't seem to be giving it up. And he's about to, he's in a position now to win the big, big money. I think it's $1 million. If he can maintain his position after the next two tournaments, it's a three-tournament playoff. And I believe it's $1 million to the winner.
Ooh. Yeah, he was so much fun to watch in Salem a couple of years ago. So that's good stuff. All right, Gary, anything else coming up here that we should know about before we talk to you, let's see, next week?
Just have to wait and see how that one more divisional
yep.
championship comes up, and we might have some local news on that, but hail, hail, St. John's.
I know.
And we'll go from here.
Great story, great story. Thanks for sharing that, Gary. Appreciate it.
Carry on, man.
Talk to you later.
Okay, right. Have a good week. Stay dry.
Stay well, guys.
There you go. That's Gary Larrabee, who is a sports historian and golf writer. 15 championships, Tim, for high school in a reasonably short amount of time. I don't care what the sport is. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It just shows the consistency of the athletes that you get, the coaching that they're getting, and the overall support of the school.
Absolutely. Okay, time to pause once again. When we come back, it'll be Mike Grenier taking a turn here, talking a little Celtics and other sports as well. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening. It's, I guess we're waiting for a big storm here on the East Coast, and it's headed this way. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy, or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
All right, we're back now with Mike Grenier, sports writer, and, of course, Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. This is North Shore Sports Night. And, Mike, I'm going to let you and Tim start us off. Start, Mike.
All right, well, Tim, obviously we have a little bit of a sample size for the Boston Celtics so far. In fact, as we speak here, they're in Charlotte playing right now, trailing by 3 with 6.5 left in the second quarter. But obviously, Tim, a 1-2 start, and they haven't played the iron of the schedule yet. They haven't played the good teams. So a 1-2 start is not a good sign so far, although it's early.
Yeah, you're right. And when you have, I don't want to say the soft part of the schedule up front, but certainly you're not playing the real meat of the schedule, you need those wins. You need to get W's in the column to give yourself some cushion so that, you know, you're going to have problems with the tougher team. So you got to take a lot. But yep. It doesn't, in terms of playoff status, which, again, comes into effect really quick this year, you know, you want to have those. So it's the old adage, you beat the teams you should beat, and then go 500 against the iron. And
right.
You should be fine. But
totally agree. I mean, it was obviously, opening night. Well, you know, the Knicks are going to be pretty good. So, you know, you lose in overtime against that team. That's okay. But then you come out two nights later and you're playing a Toronto Raptors team, which was really had a bad season last year and which is not considered a playoff contender this season. And they lost by 33, and it was their worst home loss in like 14 or 15 years. That wasn't a good sign. Then, obviously, you know, they play a Houston Rockets team that isn't very good, and they finally beat them. So, yeah, you're right. They do have to beat the teams that on paper they should beat, because when you look in February and March when they're contending for a playoff spot, those wins that you can get in October and November, they count just as much as the ones you get after Christmas. So it's not a good start so far, but it is a small sample size, and they're playing back-to-back now. They played Sunday night. They're playing tonight. As you know, every team goes through that. It's a very difficult thing. But I got to say, tonight so far, a guy that we don't get to talk too much about, Jabari Parker, a former number 2 pick overall in the entire draft, has given him like 13 points in the first quarter, first 16 or 17 minutes of the game. So that's a nice spark when a Jabari Parker comes off the bench and gives you 11 points in the first quarter and a couple more in the second quarter here. So, you know, you hope that's the bench production that they've been lacking, that they can punch it up this year.
Yeah, you got to believe if Cora was the coach of the Celtics, he'd be pulling him out and putting him on the bench and putting someone else in.
Right, right. Now, you know, it's Tim, I want to get your take on this, because when you look at the Celtics, you know, we've talked about the core strength of the Celtics, obviously being, you know, Jaylen Brown, who got 46 on opening night, phenomenal game, and Jason Tatum, who went 7 for 30 shooting on opening night, but he's responded well the last two games. So you talk about those two, I guess we'd have to consider Marcus Smart, who's been around for 6-7 years now, part of that core, and I think that, you know, a question that we had, you and I, in the offseason, and Rick, we talked about in the offseason about would Robert Williams develop? Well, mm-hmm. opening night, he had 5 block shots,
mm-hmm.
played like 37, 38 minutes. He played great. I think he's going to be fine, because I think he also, besides being a good defensive player, he knows his limitations on offense. He's not going to be taking 17 or 18 foot jumpers. He's taking the shots that are available to him, which the alley-oop dunk. He's quick off his feet. He'll get you some offensive glass. But when you're talking complementary players, and I want to get your take on this, Tim, you gotta hit home runs with your first round draft picks, okay? If not home runs, at least a double or a triple. And of course, they hit home runs when they drafted Jaylen Brown. They hit a home run when they had Jason Tatum. But the last couple of years, and I want to talk about these two guys, Romeo Langford, okay, who has been a severe disappointment, in his first 2 years. He's only played 52 career games in 2+ seasons, and he's missing tonight's game, and he missed last night's game with some kind of tightness in his calf. And is this going to be his history? He can't get he's missed unavailable, okay? So you're not adding complementary players when you fail with a draft pick, and he's been certainly, you'd have to consider him a bust so far. And then the kid they got last year in the first round, Aaron Nesmith, who played, I thought last year, like it was a deer in the headlights situation. He looked scared to be out there, okay? And so far this season, he's 0 for 10 shooting. He's literally shooting 0%. Obviously, it's only 3 games. He's only taken 10 shots, but he is 0 for 10. And in the preseason, he had some very good games. But as we know, just like in the NFL games, when you watch Patriots play in the preseason is far different than a regular season. So I'm just disappointed that those two guys, Tatum and Langford Langford and Nesmith have not added to the prowess or the depth or the quality depth that the Celtics need to go with Tatum and with Jaylen Brown. It just, those two guys have not done it.
You know, I don't think Redwood has been satisfied with those kind of results, that they would have seen the backside of the door.
Right.
Much quicker. You just can't in today's market. You can't have those kind of salaries on your books and get so little in return. I mean, you know, if you go out into the business world, you're cutting your losses. They've got to cut their losses with these two guys. You know, can you trade them to somebody? Maybe. You know,
I don't know. I mean, you have to maybe pass. Yeah.
Maybe. But you're not going to get a whole lot in return for them.
Right, exactly. At this point, it's just disappointing that they have not, you know, like I said, you have to get some productive players in the first round of the draft. And these guys, it's not like they were drafted 26th or 27th or whatever. They were drafted 12th or 14th, you know, sort of a mid first round draft picks, and you expect those guys to be able to play. Well, so far, two guys, Nesmith and I'll tell you what, if Juliet had encountered this particular Romeo, she would have broke off the engagement.
Okay, well, we're dipping into the old literary references here. That's
right.
What sports writers do. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, if Gary Larry can give you history, I can give
you
force.
There you go. Now, let me ask you, Mike, from taking it from a different angle.
Yes.
What have you noticed about Coach Ime Udoka's style at this point? As you say, it's a very small sample.
Right.
What have you gleaned from that?
Well, what I've gleaned so far is that the players really like playing for him, because I think after they won last night, they kind of went, you know, semi-wild in the locker room. Almost like a little not a champagne party, but they were celebrating, pouring water over him and all that. Because of his age, he's only like 44, I believe. I think he still relates very well to the players. And of course, he was an assistant with the Nets. I think what I've seen so far, again, 3 games, or, you know, and the 4th game on right now, is that they seem to relate to him well. He did call the team out after they lost by 33,
mm-hmm. yep.
which I thought was good. He called them out and said that they were lacking effort. And I think that's a great, honest assessment. Players don't like to hear from their head coach that they didn't give the effort. And he was not afraid to lay that out there, that they lacked effort in that second game of the season and all that. So I think, you know, he's trying to be candid. He's trying to be upfront with the players. And I so far, so good. I don't see any problems so far in terms of them relating to him. And I think his coaching style in terms of his substitution so far, at least from what we've seen, they've been fine. Like I said, Jabari Parker, he put him into tonight's game, and he's responding magnificently here in the first half of tonight's game. So, you know, I think he's looking for the right combinations, which early in the season you have to do, see which players are going to contribute, which ones aren't. And that's what he's doing right now. He's trying to find out which players are going to be productive for the balance of the season.
Yeah, you know, you're either 2-1 or 1-2 in the Atlantic Conference division right now.
Yeah.
So there's a long road to hoe, but you got New York and Philly up on top, and is Brooklyn going to be 1-2, have a losing record for too long? I mean, that's a team who's still with a whole lot of talent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No question about it. And you know, it's so funny, right? You know, the Nets on paper look like a great team. But there's so much distraction going on now with Kyrie Irving not getting vaccinated. I guess there was a group of protesters outside the Barclays Center in Brooklyn last night, you know, like supporting, they call themselves the free Kyrie Irving. That stupidity of free me. And,
geez.
You know, Kyrie Irving's making a choice not to get vaccinated. He doesn't need to be free from anything. He's making, and it's causing disruption. Within, you know, the Brooklyn organization, obviously. Just the same as Ben Simmons. Rick, you have a Philly background.
Yep.
And Ben Simmons, who, you know, has been an all-star a couple of times, and he shows up and he doesn't do anything. And Doc Rivers threw him out of practice and suspended him, which I think is a great move. And Philly is looking for three or four all-star caliber players in return for Ben Simmons. They want the moon, and they're not going to get that.
No, they're going to get 40 cents on the dollar for him.
They will. Maybe 25 cents.
Yeah.
Because Ben Simmons shot like 34% in the playoffs, from the foul line in the playoffs last year. And he was afraid to take shots on the floor during the flow of play.
Right.
So
yeah.
His stock has dipped dramatically. And, Embiid went off on him. Joel Embiid, by far the team's best player, went off on Ben Simmons. So it shows you what one player can do in terms of this.
Ah, it's interesting, yeah. Hey, what about, is there a Pat Connaughton update? I know it's very early, but
yeah.
You have a good relationship with him.
Well, I'll tell you what, right? He goes out opening night. He gives him, I forget how many minutes off the bench, 20 points on opening night, okay? Now, they've had a couple of minor injuries. So he started 2 nights ago, played a career-high 37 minutes, gave him 16 points and 7 rebounds, shot 6-for-9. So he's off to a tremendous start. The Bucks are 2-1. And he's getting more playing time than ever, which is a great thing because, you know, the Bucks have a tremendous team. And so, you know, not only does he have to show something every time he's on the floor, but he's competing with, on his own team, some very good players for playing time. So the fact that Coach Mike Budenholzer is using him a lot right now is really a good sign. I think they're playing tonight. Who knows if he'll be in the starting lineup, but he gave him 37 minutes the other night and shot very well, and you know they won by 10 points. So he's off to a great start.
Great to hear.
So, Rick, you know, let's talk about Robert Williams for a second, Tim, because, you know, we had questions about him because last year he played less than 20 minutes a game, and I believe on opening night against the Knicks he gave him like 45 minutes, and he had the 5 block shots, and he's been up in double figures scoring. So I kind of like that aspect, the fact that he's given him the big minutes, because he is effective when he played the short minutes, but could he do it when he got more than 25, 30 minutes a game? And so far, the new coach has been able to trust him with the minutes. I think that's a heck of a good sign for the Celtics.
Yeah, I watch him, and he's a big body. Definitely is that. 6'9", 237. A lot of these guys don't get over 200 pounds. Some of these guys,
right. He's very athletic. There's no questioning his athleticism. He's tremendously athletic. He's he's great at grabbing those long passes at odd angles and long arms and all that. And I like his defensive hustle, okay? I like the way he attacks on defense and the way he comes over and blocks shots and helps out on defense. I just think that's a great sign for the Celtics that he can do that kind of thing.
I think he just has to stay healthy. And you know, you talk about body size, you and Tim. I want to contrast that, Mike, with Zion, because when I watched Zion in spring there, he looked enormous to me, and I don't mean that in a complimentary way.
Right.
Whereas I look at Robert Williams, and this season looks like he's chiseled. He's slimmed down.
Oh, I agree. Zion Williamson, of course, has a big upside as a potentially a great scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a guy I think who could average easily 25, 30, 30 points a game. But if he's not, if he's a career guy who, you know, eats too many pastries,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to have that kind of career. And I agree with you, Rick. He looked awfully heavy last year, and he's not incredibly tall. So he would be a much more effective player if he is chiseled,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so far in his career, he has not been chiseled.
Right.
He's missing a lot of games early in the season here with an injury. He's dealing with an injury. But he has to get himself in condition if he wants to maximize.
Well,
he has great potential.
I say that just because it's just an off-the-cuff thing that I've noticed. And, you know, Williams is, so far, three games in, he's doing okay. And he has a history of not being able to play a lot. And I just wondered if he just worked himself into shape and the other guy might not be letting himself stay in shape. It's just, you know, it's just a random throw the spaghetti on the wall type thing.
No, I totally agree because, you know, the big question mark about Robert Williams was, and of course it still remains a question mark.
Right.
Because, again, we're only in game four.
Right.
Will he be able to sustain those kinds of minutes as the season progresses? But so far, certainly, the early voting goes in his favor. He's been playing great. You know what? Another guy right now I'm seeing on the screen, Grant Williams, who I thought was kind of a borderline talent, hard-working kid, but he's kind of a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
He's too small to play defense against the big guys, and he's not quick enough to play defense against the smaller guys. But he's shooting like 75% on threes in the early going here, and like 70% overall. That's not going to last, obviously. But he's given them some strong minutes so far, and, you know, you hope that, yeah, sure, those numbers are going to dip, those percentages, but if he can just be a good, consistent defender and give him a little bit of scoring, then he's going to fit in a role with this team. He's going to have a role.
All right.
And I noticed Peyton Pritchard. You know, we mentioned Langford and Neesmith, who are both first-round picks, but Peyton Pritchard has outplayed both of them as a second-round pick in his first year and a half here, you know. So you hope to see his development continue because he's a tremendous three-point shooter.
I want to go watch the game. So, Tim, final thoughts with Mike?
I just want Williams to do the one thing that my coach told me when I was playing basketball at Savio. Again, Jim Doherty told me perhaps one day, give the ball to somebody who can shoot.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And Robert Williams does that. Like
Williams
I said,
has to.
Yeah.
Give it to somebody who can shoot.
Yeah, Robert Williams is not trying to do too much offensively. He knows he's not a strong shooter, and maybe that'll come in the next couple of years. He could hit the foul line jumpers or something like that. But for now, he's very content to move the ball around to a Jaylen Brown, a Jason Tatum, and guys like that who can put the ball in the hoop.
A lot of fun, Mike. A lot of fun. Thanks so much, man, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Right, exactly. Thank you guys very much, and continued good health, Tim.
Ah, yes.
All righty. Nursing my health south of the border next week.
Okay.
Now right, so it's you and me, Mike.
I hope. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Take care.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, I'll be good.
All right, that's Mike Grenier, who is a sports writer and, of course, a real Celtic fan and among other sports as well. And great stuff tonight. Tim, any final thoughts there to clean out the attic before you go south?
No, Red. Oh, no, that's,
nah.
That's over.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Panther on the upswing. Again, give the kid the ball and let him sling it.
Yeah, we didn't talk about him, but he was very steady once again. 24 for 36, 307 yards, a couple of touchdowns. But to me, once again, the most impressive thing was, Tim, I don't know, but the most impressive thing was if he made a bad throw or bad play, or I use the word bad in quotation marks, he shakes it off. He comes right back on the
yeah.
or if the team has a penalty, doesn't matter. He comes right back.
Well, you know, the great thing is that You know, he was under the tutelage, you know, of Saban running the pro offense. And he doesn't have fear. He doesn't play with any fear. He's out there, and he just says, okay. And he throws the ball out in front of the receivers, you know, which I love to see. They run through the ball for the most part. So have at it. You know?
Yeah, really. It's cool. So we'll see what happens next week. Tim, so how long are you going to be away?
We're away Monday to Saturday.
All right. Okay. Very good. So enjoy. Be safe. Get some. Make sure you use your sunblock and have a good time.
I will do that.
All right, Coach. Talk to you later.
All right, my friend.
Thank you, Tim. Take care. That's Tim Kearns, our extraordinary educator and analyst here at MSO New Sports. Great guy. Just super, super, super. And he always played Santa Claus at the high school every single year. I think he still does, even though he's been retired for a while. Anyway, thank you for joining us. If you want to email us, let us know, msonewsports@gmail.com. My thanks to our guest tonight, Jim Pugh, Hamilton Wenham football coach, to Revere football coach, Lou Ciccatelli, and, of course, our regulars, Gary Larrabee and Mike Granier, sports writers of the nth degree. And thank you, of course, to Tim Kearns. Thank you for joining us. This is msonewsports.com. On behalf of Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, Tim Kearns, Marty Smith, and the whole gang, I'm Rick Moore. Be well.